We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, Friday Fives, after a non-Thursday, because COVID is back. What is this, 2020? Games getting postponed due to COVID?
Yeah, I don't like this one bit. This is giving me a PTSD with this nonsense. I feel like I have to stay in my house now, but...
You're going to stay in your house anyway.
I just can't. Yeah. This is not cool. I was really looking forward to the game last night. I fired myself up for it. Got ready.
Oh, yeah. What'd you do?
The only game. I was just ready. I was just ready for baseball again. I missed it.
What's your pregame?
I missed the pain. I guess it's a we're masochists at this point. We need it.
Couple days off and everything's back to normal. The world is back to normal. And it's like, hey, you know, what if they go on a little bit of run? What if they sweep the Red Sox? What if they do this?
Hey. Got some hope there. No, but now it's, hey, what if they play baseball this weekend? We'll see.
Oh, that's certainly up in the air. The games have not been postponed as of Friday at 9:56 in the morning. So that's when we're recording, FYI. But yeah, I guess let's just start with number one. Is this COVID outbreak the second outbreak for the Yankees this season? Thanks, J&J. Is this going to be the final straw in this Yankee season? Because now they're without Aaron Judge, Gio Urshela, Kyle Higashioka, Johnny Lasagna, Nestor Cortes, and Peralta, who cares, for probably the first week of the second half minimum.
Can they not test out of this protocol? It takes time.
You have to repeat. You have to do a test and it's got to be negative. And then 24 hours, you got to do a test and it has to be negative. So, and Judge tested positive. That's different than...
That was the rapid test. Did the lab confirm that? I know as of last night when I was grilling dinner, I was watching Cashman's Zoom call and they were waiting for the lab to confirm it. So I don't know if that has happened yet. Because I think that has to happen before even anything else.
Even if it's not a week, what's best case scenario for Judge being back? Tuesday against Philly?
After the series, if they play the series... So here's the thing.
I guess not playing the series would be the best case scenario for the
Yankees. Yeah, it would be at this point. What we know right now, again, Friday morning, is that if Judge comes back with a positive test from the lab and confirms the rapid test, then we have a situation where there's a contact tracing issue back to the All-Star game, which is all of the players, and now everybody's going to have to do it. Last night, Thursday night, the Red Sox Yankees was the only game in town. They tried to put it up on a pedestal and COVID smacked it down and said, no, you don't get to do that. But because of the only game situation, we don't know what the other teams are doing. I mean, obviously they're all going through their rapid tests at this point, but we don't know, what's been done behind the scenes yet because they haven't had a game. They haven't really had to announce things. So, we're waiting for MLB to make their comments and let us know what's going to go on. It would not surprise me if everybody was in this protocol of some sort. The Red Sox are also one of the teams that were not at that 80% threshold.
85.
85% threshold.
But,
so they
but
had,
then again, the Yankees were the one of the first teams to be at 85%, and this is their second outbreak of the season.
Right. And the last one was coaches. It was Glaber, but that came back as a false positive. So kind of right, hoping
but he missed.
He did miss Glaber time. He missed a
decent amount of time.
Yeah. So look, at the end of the day, these guys, Cashman and Boone, from their press conferences yesterday, were saying that all the guys are doing well. They're relatively, you know, healthy without symptoms. So that's a positive thing. That's good. You know, want to look back at how people are doing, obviously, with their health. Seemingly they're doing okay and everything is controlled, but they are quarantining. And, but yeah, I don't know. We're back in this mix of cloudiness of who knows when the hell we're going to play. And it all depends on the protocols and how much, and it's all Manfred. This is all Manfred's decision too. It goes back up to the commissioner's office on whether he wants to play the games or not play the games at this point.
I don't think they can postpone all four of them. I think that creates too much of a logistical nightmare. So I could see them playing maybe two or three games this weekend. Maybe they postpone Friday again until stuff comes back. They end up playing a Saturday game and then maybe a doubleheader on Sunday or something like that. And then they have to only make up one more game.
Unless it starts going to other teams. And if it goes, the rapid tests come positive on the other teams, they might just have to cancel the weekend and then add it on to the end of the year.
That's true. That would be.
And that way it's a blanket move.
What a logistical nightmare that would be.
Yeah. So
My question
is,
like,
but in the short term, it hurts us badly because we are missing significant players.
Yeah.
Significant players. And they're already calling guys up. We saw, I know we're going to be talking about this. We have Friday Fives not looking back. We already looked back yesterday in the episode, but we're looking forward today. Looking forward to what? We don't know, but we do know that there are some minor leaguers that have been added either to the team or to the taxi squad. So it's definitely
Park
just adding to the uncertainty.
Hoijin Park, shortstop. He is been in the minors for a few years. This year, he's having a great season, hitting .303 between AA and AAA. He was added to the taxi squad. And that's obviously because Gio is going to be out and they need another infielder. But answer my question. Could this be the final straw for the Yankees? Because of what I said, these 10 games, really 13 if you're including Tampa, are the most crucial games for this season. And if the Yankees are going to have a competitive second half, if they, even if they go .500 in these games, you're just wasting days on the calendar. And without some of their best players, it's going to be really hard to win 8 of those 13 games or 9 of those 13 games.
If they go .500, then it's a miracle without those players. If they go .500
So what do you do if you're .500?
We've already talked about this, though. I already told you that if they go .500, that's not going to change my thought process here, because there's still that last playoff spot that they can go after. Again,
well, part of it depends on what other teams do. Oakland and Houston.
Toronto and that second place NL West team. That's, again, square. My eyes are on that. If we can get back into this race by doing some good things in this next 2 weeks, then great. If not, then dead set on that last spot. But it's still there. There's an opportunity.
All right. So you're saying no. I'm saying maybe. Number two, Zach Britton is back. He was activated. How do you rank the bullpen hierarchy now coming out of the All-Star break?
I don't know, because
it's so
because
messy.
our temporary closer who was filled in for our you know, high paid all-star closer got lit up. But that was an outlier. It was definitely an outlier. So maybe they're looking at it that way. I think that going it back into the season after the break would not surprise me if Chapman was back in that closing spot. Just would not surprise me.
Oh, you think so?
It wouldn't surprise me.
What's happened between him?
Chad
not,
Green got lit up.
No, but what's
Johnny
happened?
Johnny Lasagna's gone.
But Chapman, what's happened with Chapman since they did everything to avoid bringing him into Saturday's game?
He's had an opportunity to clear his head.
Okay.
Nothing else. Maybe work on some things off him. You know, he very
so
well.
You don't put Britton in the closer role?
Not immediately, no.
Why?
I don't know. Just because, probably not. They may just go committee at this point.
But why not Britton?
Because he's just coming back.
So what? If Chapman was just coming back from an injury, they'd put him right back into the closer role. And Zach Britton's a closer.
Britton hasn't been a closer in 2 years, 3 years.
He's a closer. Okay, he's a closer. He's being paid like a closer. He's a closer pitching the eighth inning for the Yankees.
Okay, so I still think Chad Green is probably the top right now, even though the implosion happened. I think that's a blip on the radar. He's been so good for a long time. I think they're, if that happens again, then, you know, we can talk about that. But and then probably Britton after that, because Lasagna is not going to be with the team right now. But when he comes back, I'd say he jumps up to the top as well. Probably as a
he was placed on the COVID list last weekend, so he should Saturday. Be able to come back sooner.
Yeah, hopefully. Unless he was hanging out with the rest of the guys and just hasn't reported.
If he was on the COVID test list and he was hanging out with the rest of the guys, that's a problem.
Well, there are guys on there, you know. Who knows? this thing does travel in the air when you're close. So, look, it's up in the air. I think it's going to be a very big a committee at this point. I don't think there's really one person that you can land on that you 1,000% trust. Can't say Britton because he's just coming back as well. I mean, I guess he's, what have you done for me lately? How have you hurt me lately? And he's lower on the list at this point, but I would not be surprised if they tried to get Chapman back into that role sooner than later after the break. And like leaning on the break as like an opportunity to, one, fix mechanics, get some shit straight in bullpen sessions. And two, just clear your head.
Man, if let's say they play tonight, Friday, and they've got a one-run lead in the ninth inning, I would be surprised if it's Chapman. I think they're going to have to get him into a game or two in lower pressure and see him pitch clean innings, not walking guys, not throwing in the mid-90s, not looking lost on the mound. You have to see it with your own eyes, not in a bullpen session.
You know, they had an opportunity to do that Friday night against Houston when they had a 4-run lead and they chose not to.
Right.
Boone had an opportunity there. And I thought that was, a spot that 4-run lead, don't have to be perfect, but it's enough of a pressure cooker situation because of where you are and where and who you're playing. For that to like simulate a tight game situation. And we saw how a lead disappeared so quickly on Sunday. But whether he thought it was too much because of Houston and he wanted to, because he went Chad Green and then Loaisiga, it ended up being a non-issue because Loaisiga was unavailable anyway because of the protocol on Saturday. But I thought it was an opportunity there. So I don't know what that says about what Boone is trying to do with Chapman.
I don't think there's a clear plan. I think it's,
you can't just not use him at this point. He's just taking up a roster spot now.
No, I know, but you can use it. Like I said, you use him in low pressure situations, sixth inning in a 4-run game or ninth inning.
How about the ninth inning of a 5-run game on a Sunday before an All-Star break? How about that?
yeah, I guess, but maybe he threw too many B-whips the night before.
Two opportunities on Friday and Sunday that he could have been used in a ninth inning in a game that was had a decent lead, not good enough apparently, but what if he was not put in those situations?
What if he threw too many B-whips on Saturday?
Well, then don't throw too many B-whips. Like that would be really, really a terrible, terrible reason why.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Number three, Trey Ambergay. Are you sure?
That's what I'm saying. Ambergay. I think that's right.
Trey Ambergay was promoted to the Yankees. And Eli Fishman, who is anywhere between the age of 9 and 20, broke the news on Twitter. He's been breaking some news. He's, according to his bio, writes about the minor leagues. So cool. Nice job.
I think your college 25, man. I'm giving, he's that makes him a freshman in college or going to be a freshman in college, potentially.
Yeah. Going to be a freshman.
Hey, man, this kid has been breaking news for the past week. Good for him. He's paying attention. I shot him a follow and a DM saying, nice work. He's been on top of it. Good for him.
He has. So Ambergay is 26. He's a right-handed outfielder so far in his career for the minor leagues, 534 games. He's hitting .272 with a .768 OPS. Some people were asking, how come no Esteban Florial? We've already seen him called up this year. He's obviously on the 40-man, but he's just been really bad in AAA. He's hitting .208. So I think they're just trying to get him more consistent time in the minors and see better performance from him in the minors before they promote him again. And Ambergay is hitting .312 with 7 homers in 38 games at AAA so far this year. So the way I see it,
he's been more seasoned in the higher minor leagues. Ambergay, he's been around for a while. So Florial's definitely still a project.
The way I see it, the Yankees starting outfield right now because of COVID and other injuries is Brett Gardner in center field, Tim LaCastro in, let's call it left field, and Trey Ambergay in right field with Tyler Wade as the fourth outfielder. That's the Yankees outfield right now.
LaCastro is going to center and Gardner's going to left, right?
Okay, fine. Whatever. Does it matter?
Yeah, of course it matters. I'm just trying to, you know, this would be... it's, you know, that's not ideal. Clint Frazier got engaged over the weekend or congratulations. Nice. He's doing well for himself.
That'll sure help his headache.
Well,
planning a wedding.
Maybe that's been on his mind.
Maybe
that's the problem is that he's been thinking about this moment for such a long time.
Hold on. Is it doctor recommended to get down on one knee if you have vertigo?
I think if you're in a controlled situation, so I'll tell you what you do here. This is actually a very good tip because when I play softball at night, the lights, they mess with me too. And I have a bad right eye. If you remember, I don't have great depth perception at night. And when I'm driving at night, the lights kind of mess with me, especially if it's raining and there's prisms that are created.
But you don't wear contacts or glasses, do you?
I don't. My eye injury is permanent. There's a scar on my pupil. So from when I was a kid, I had an eye injury. And you can't correct it. So it just messes with me. So when I'm playing softball, before every pitch, I look to the ground and it just helps me find my footing and find the ground literally. And I can see better. But sometimes the lights really mess with me. At night. So I have to keep my brim low and just kind of tune them out. So is it, if you're going down on one knee, you better be in a controlled situation.
Okay. Good. Thanks for that advice.
He needs to look down, find his ground, go to the knee. Can't fall over in that situation. I mean, there were no pictures of him falling over. So I have to assume that didn't happen.
I didn't see the picture.
Good for him.
Do we know that he got down on one knee?
No, I do not. I saw pictures of, I don't remember what I saw. I saw.
How is this the second time we've talked about proposing in 3 weeks? Didn't we talk about proposals not too long ago?
I don't think so.
I think we did because someone proposed at the Yankee Red Sox game.
Oh, yeah. That was a while back. That was a Yankees fan at the Red Sox game
a while
back. Fenway.
3 weeks ago.
That's just a weird place to do it.
So the outfield is an absolute freaking mess right now, not helped by injuries and obviously COVID. Number four, the trade deadline. Speaking of outfield help, Joel Sherman reported the Yankees, quote, have eyes on Joey Gallo. He's having a fantastic year, hitting 239, 402, 522 with a 923 OPS. He is striking out about 30% of the time, but he does lead the league in walks. Double butt. He's on a terrible team, so he doesn't get pitched to. But what are your thoughts on Joey Gallo?
Joey Gallo has, 24 home runs this year. I don't want to see Joey Gallo on this team. What's his contract situation? Because he strikes out too, because he's just another player that strikes out a lot, doesn't.
And what's the alternative? At this point, what's the alternative? Tim LeCastro? Trey Ambergy? Tyler Wade? Like, yeah, you're right. Joey Gallo strikes out too much. But they have nothing right now. Joey Gallo is better than anything they have except Aaron Judge in the outfield. So yeah, I'll take Joey Gallo. Is he my favorite player? Is he my favorite type of player? Absolutely not. But he's a hell of a lot better than everyone on the outfield depth chart except Aaron Judge.
Yes, he can hit the ball out of the ballpark. There's no doubt about it.
He has a 923 OPS.
He can help this team in... So does getting Joey Gallo put this team over an edge?
Of course it doesn't put them over the edge, but it makes them better. If they get Joey Gallo, I don't think that should be their only move. But Joey Gallo helps this outfield tremendously.
He's left-handed. It gives them the lefty pop. It gives them an opportunity to mix up that lineup with someone who's actually substantial in there. I get that. It's again, man, it's just the fit. So yeah, that's fine. If we're looking at what is happening on the market,
that's what you have to do.
And some of the players that they would have to give up too were pretty significant. I mean, I saw something that had in there Austin Wells, our draft pick from was last year, right? And then giving up a couple different pitchers. There were significant minor leaguers given up. And I understand that a lot of people don't believe in these minor leaguers and they don't ever work out. But man, Joey Gallo, I've just been trying to avoid Joey Gallo for years.
Yeah, for I get years. It.
And it feels like now we're at a desperation point and exactly. They're going to go out and do it and it's supposed to feel better. It doesn't. It doesn't make me feel better. If I'm being honest here, I just don't want him on this team because he doesn't fit what we're trying to do.
He fits
what they're trying to do. No, let me rephrase that. He fits what they're trying to do, which is pop production. I don't care about strikeouts. It fits that, but it doesn't make this team more well-balanced. Doesn't make this team, a better team that can go out there and,
It makes this current version of the Yankees as we sit here on July 16th better.
It's better.
It doesn't make an ideal... when we were looking at this team in February, Joey Gallo didn't make them better. But now here in July, he makes them better. Considering
Joey Gallo couldn't even hit home runs in the home run derby. What does that say? At Coors Field.
All I'm saying is that...
Is that the pressure situation that we have to see? Is that the only comp that we have in Joey Gallo and pressure? Someone lobbing him a ball in Coors Field in a home run derby when he was a number two seed and then he just chokes it out.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes harder.
That's what we're going for, right?
Sometimes it's harder to hit lobs than it is to hit 96 mile an hour fastballs.
Well, then get someone who throws 96 mile an hour fastballs.
But I don't think they need so much help on this roster, especially in the outfield, that Joey Gallo does help them. So if you're saying they're going to have to give up a boatload of prospects, then I don't feel good about that either. But if they're giving up a couple of pieces that, frankly, who the hell knows what they're going to be anyway for a player that will help them this year and will help them next year, I'm okay with it. I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not going to start the parade planning for it, but it's better than what they have. I don't want to watch Ambergy and Tyler Wade and LeCastro play the outfield every night.
All right. I will say this, like looking at Joey Gallo as a player all around, right? And looking at the contract situation as well, he's got another year of arbitration. He's 27 years old. His salary this year is $6.2 million. So to be honest, like a lot of this does add up to them making a move for Joey Gallo if they can, because of the controlled contract. And that actually would keep them under the luxury tax for a prorated amount. What is that? $3 million, under $3 million? That they could finagle that to get to and stay under the luxury tax. So as I'm looking at this move a hell of a lot more and in depth in the way that Cashman's thinking about it and Hal's thinking about it, because again, I still don't believe that they are going to make a significant splash to go over the luxury tax. And if they did, it would frustrate the living hell out of me, because why didn't you do that before this season if you're willing to do it now? But looking at his contract, he's got another year of control after this. And then he's a free agent in 23.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
it fits what they want.
It does also fit what they want.
Do you realize he's actually a pretty good defensive outfielder?
I mean, that's the least of my worries. I really, you know,
That's a nice addition, especially for a guy that will hit home runs and he will strike out, but at least you're not sticking him out there and he's a liability in the field. He's a good outfielder.
Sure. Okay, great. That's outstanding. He could play other positions. Didn't he play the infield a little bit too?
I know he's played center field for the Rangers.
I thought he played a little first base at one point. Baseball Reference has him as an outfielder, first baseman, and third baseman.
Cool. All right. So you're lukewarm on Joey Gallo. I'm not hot on him, but I'm definitely warmer than you are. I would like to see them make moves at the deadline because, number five, the Yankees, current record, 46-43. Fangraphs puts their playoff chances at 40.4%. That's decent. Okay. It's not where they should be, but it's decent enough.
Is it better than you thought it was? Is it better than what you thought you were going to see when you looked that up?
No, yes. because this is wild card. They're not far out of the wild card, like you've been saying. Whereas 40%, 60%, most of the scenarios lead to them not making the playoffs.
Okay. It's still a coin flip. And it's still, you're talking about a bunch of nerds that give you that 40%.
Okay. You're talking about a coin flip.
So if I'm in the range of like 30-70%, I'm like, okay, there's an opportunity here. Like that's all that means. Lower than that.
But their division chances are very low.
Depends what happens in the next 2 weeks.
The problem I see with this team is that they're probably going to go 500 in the next 2 weeks. And again, that just wastes days on
calendar.
They're a
500 team. So yeah, they're a 500 team. If they can bust out of that for a 3-4 week span at the end of September and October, that would be terrific. But there's nothing saying that they've done that. Joey Gallo, you know, could catch lightning in a bottle with him. I'm becoming, when I see his contract now, and I'm looking a little bit deeper into the way that the minds work of the front office of the New York Yankees, this move is actually making a hell of a lot more sense based on the contract and the fact that they would stay under the luxury tax as well. Like now I'm looking at
it's going to have to be on their terms though. They're not going to overpay for Joey Gallo.
They will overpay with prospects.
You think so?
I think so. Because it's a splash. It's a splash move, and it does exactly what it hits everybody's objective. It hits the fans' objective. It hits the front office objective. It gives a mix up. It does help the team in the now, gives you another year. It hits every freaking line. It really does. And you're getting a lefty bat. Like, throw away the 30% strikeout rate because they don't care about that. They don't care about that.
I know they don't care about
that. I don't have the same philosophy as them. We do not align in philosophy when it comes to the type of players that they need on the field to win. That said, this fits what they're trying to do. It does.
What about...
Makes a lot of sense.
What about the fact that Brian Cashman and the Yankees can say, well, technically, leading up to the trade deadline, we're going to be getting Aaron Judge back.
Oh, stop it.
Gio Urshela, they're going to acquire Gio Urshela.
Stop it.
Luis Severino is going to be an acquisition late in the season. So is Corey Kluber. This has already been done.
You can still add all those pieces to the team and you still need another outfielder.
Oh, yeah.
No, so bring all those guys back from COVID and injury and you still need another outfielder. So,
okay.
Yeah, they're going to have to give up some things. And David Garcia was a name I saw in this deal. And it's going to be significant. I mean, you're getting another year of Joey Gallo in arbitration. So you're getting a good contract year for Joey Gallo in 22 as well.
What if you can convince the Rangers to take either Miguel Andujar or Clint Frazier plus mid-level prospects for Joey Gallo?
I guess I don't know. So it would be as a New York Yankee front office person, I'm looking at that, what you just said, and I'm saying, okay, Clint Frazier and Miguel Andujar, both guys have shown on the major league level that they can be productive players at times. Am I going to give them a known quantity, or am I going to give them 2 to 3 other guys that I still don't know what they're going to be or have not proven anything on the major league level? It depends on how they feel about the prospects, I guess.
But if you're acquiring,
they've still shown it. They've still shown it. If there's something going on with Clint right now and they think that that's a reason why, I don't know. When you have a guy that's already shown it on the major league level, that's a very difficult thing to do. So
no, I know, but you'd be acquiring Joey Gallo, like you said, who has control next year, and he's going to be a starting outfielder for you next year.
And you're creating a logjam now too, even if Clint was good.
So at that point, do you just move on from the headache, no pun intended, that is Clint Frazier?
I don't think that his value is enough up there to say, okay, I'm going to add Clint Frazier in instead of a top prospect. I think that the Rangers would rather have a top prospect.
They probably,
again, depending
would
on
too.
What they think about the, you're prospect,
right. They would probably rather have a top prospect as well. But if you can give them a handful of mid-level prospects and Clint Frazier, that might get the job done versus just a top prospect.
That's like the fantasy football trade where I'm just going to add 5 guys and I'm only going to trade for 1, and it's a better deal for you because I'm adding 5 people.
But with prospects, even top prospects are obviously, there's risk involved.
So mid-level prospects, there's a shit ton of risk. There's like
they're lottery tickets, but if you get 4 tickets. Of them, if you get 4 of them, one of them might hit, and then the deal is more than worth it.
I guess the thing about Clint Frazier is that he has shown, but he's also shown the other side of it, and it's been really bad too.
Exactly. You say known quantity. I don't think Clint Frazier or Miguel Andujar are known quantity.
I'm not saying known quantity. I'm as far as being a consistent player, I'm saying that they have shown that they can compete in the major leagues and,
of course,
and do well at times.
Of course.
Whereas a lot of people can't, a lot of prospects never get to that point and ever show as much as they have shown in the major leagues. And they're still young guys.
Which is why you might, the Rangers might view this as change of scenery will do these guys good. And I'd say more so with Clint Frazier than Miguel Andujar, because I think Miguel Andujar, it's nothing about the scenery. I just think he's a man without a position, and that's going to hinder him for his entire career. Whereas Clint Frazier, I just think needs to, like, this is not a joke on his vertigo. He needs to legitimately just like reset his mind and reset everything about his life with the New York Yankees. Get past that and just start fresh somewhere else. Clint, you're the starting left fielder for the Texas Rangers starting opening day 2022. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just go out there and hit. And I think he would.
Maybe. I mean, it doesn't seem like he was off the radar as far as like a lot of pressure. It's not like anybody was giving him a bunch of shit this year. It's almost like last year we were ready to go, okay, he did it. And now he's going to take that next step. It didn't feel like a big pressure situation.
But I mean, it kind of did, because there were questions after he got benched after like 4 games to start the season.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's I just don't know what the value is there. But the more I look at Joey Gallo and that contract, the more it's screaming Brian Cashman at this point. 1 year left.
Gut reaction. Will the Yankees make the playoffs?
Yes.
As a wild card?
Yes.
Okay.
And they'll make it as a wild card and have a
first or second wild card?
The second wild card.
Who are they going to be playing?
The Houston Astros.
That doesn't make sense.
Why not?
Because Tampa or Boston needs to be the first wild card. The Yankees are going to overtake Tampa or Boston in the division?
Needs to be the first. What are you saying? You asking me who they're going to play?
Right. So if the Yankees make the second wild card, that means 3 teams probably in the AL East make the playoffs. A division winner, and then the first wild card. And then Correct. The Yankees is the second wild card.
Correct.
So that means the Yankees have to overtake Houston or Oakland, whoever's not the division winner in the West. That team doesn't make the playoffs.
Right.
And then the Yankees play either Tampa or Boston, whoever doesn't win the division, for the wild card.
Would the Yankees not, is that how do they reseed the playoffs at that point? Don't they just...
It's just wild card. It's just the wild card teams. All the division, winners are the division winners. Right, next two teams get the wild card.
And then from there, you go and play the number one seed.
Right.
Okay, that's where I was going with that already. I was already winning the wild card game in my head.
You were already winning.
I was going to Houston.
Okay, gotcha.
So who are they going to play? I think they are going to play the Red Sox because I think Tampa's going to win the division.
Okay. Garrett Cole on the mound to beat the Red Sox in a one-game wild card. I'd like my chances in that. Certainly, I'd like my chances. My gut reaction says also the Yankees will make the playoffs because I think they are a better team than what we've seen. But I actually think that them making the wild card is worst case scenario for this roster because then they're just going to run it back next year.
Look, that's just assuming incompetence of anybody who's evaluating this team. So it doesn't matter. If that's the case, then it doesn't matter. If they're close or if they make it, it doesn't matter.
Even if they get close, miss the wild card by a game or two.
That means they've had
a pretty good second half. That means they've played decent baseball in the second half, like 550 baseball in the second half, 575 baseball in the second half. And then postseason press conference, Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone talking about, I really like what we saw after the All-Star break. We're confident that that's the real team, that next year we're going to be pick up right where we left off, that the first half was a fluke and we just, you know, made a lot of mistakes and that wasn't the true essence of this team. Second half is what you really need to look at. That's what they'll look at. That's what they'll say.
Cool. Yeah. You got to reassess the team, whether you make the playoffs or not. Got to reassess it the way that it's constructed. Got to reassess it. So if that's not the case, if they don't do that and they're leaning on the fact that they made a second wild card spot and just saying they were close, then yes, I question the competency of the organization at that point.
Let's put it this way. I am 65% confident in their 40% chance to make the playoffs.
Okay. That's good enough for me. I do think they're going to make it. I think they're going to make a push, assuming this COVID thing doesn't get any worse and people have to miss more time. Because it's going to be a detriment for sure. It's a big loss. There's a lot of guys out.
All right. That's it for Friday Fives. We will talk to you probably on Monday, assuming there's games that happen this weekend.
Let's just, right? Yeah, come on. We need to get on the field. But at the same time, do we? Because we're not going to have half of our team.
They need to get on the field, but maybe not for three games. Maybe just two. Just give me two games, right?
Aaron Judge out on the field. When the Yankees are out there, I want Aaron Judge on the field.
Play on Saturday, play on Sunday, win one of those games, and then make up the games later. That's fine. Let's just do that.
Kick the can down the road?
Yeah, keep punting.
I mean,
This is a football game where you're down by like 13 points.
Field position.
You're down by 13 points. That's only two scores, but you haven't really had a first down in 20 minutes of play. So it's not looking good. It's fourth and 20, so I'm just going to punt. I'm not going to try the Hail Mary.
It takes one big defensive stop. Shift that field.
Fumble, interception.
Flip the field, baby. Who knows? Flip the field.
That's what we're talking about here.
When's football season? Coming up. Let's go Jets. All right.
We'll talk to you before football season. I can guarantee you that. Talk to you guys later.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.